Okay, let's get into discussing the first half of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Today we have the Chazara on the first half, which is really the first two-thirds. I mean, the first half in quantity, but we mentioned in the Hakdama that really Sefer Shmuel Aleph is broken up into three parts. The first part is about Eli and Shmuel. The second part is about Shmuel and Shaul. And the third part is about Shaul and David. So Shmuel is taking his leave here, starting in the next parak, which we'll discuss, parak tezayin, but the first 15 prakim are the first part of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. So here we go. So we discussed in the introduction that Sefer Shmuel starts off in a transitionary period. The Shoftim, the period of the Shoftim is over. The Shoftim, which the Mishnah in the beginning of Perkei Avos referred to as the Zakenim, right? Moshe Kibbutor Misina, Mishrael Yeshua, Yeshua Zakenim, Zakenim Lenevim. Those Zakenim are the Shoftim. That's the middle, the next stage. Shmuel Hanavi wrote both Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel. And the reason that he didn't put it into two different Sfarim is because, as we know, there was a transition here. And a transition is always signified by the writing of a Sefer. Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah. That was the end of a period of time, a halachic stage. The Ravina and Ravashi wrote it. That was a halachic stage. The Shulchan Aruch was a halachic stage. Right? That was the end. So to hear, Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel were two different. Those, it was written by the same author. It was two different time periods and halachic time periods in history. And that is why there are different Sfarim. Shmuel himself was a transitionary figure, right? He was a shofet, he was the last shofet, and yet he's also Shmuel Hanavi. Once he appointed the Melech, his life and his state changed. That is all alluded to in one pasuk in the Sefer, Perek Tes Pasuk Tes. Pasuk 9-9, that's where he says, it used to be called a Roeh, and now when Shaul is going to go greet him, so that pasuk is a key pasuk. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points this out in a number of his Ma'amarim, that pasuk is the key for the transition between, it used to be a shofet was the leader in all ways. He was the military leader as well as the spiritual leader. Some were more spiritual than others. But once a melech came along, the melech was the military leader, while the navi was a separate personality. So that is by way of introduction. Perek Aleph, Shmuel Aleph starts off with the story of Elkanah and his two wives. We have Elkanah, who's one of the 48 Nevi'im. He has two wives, one Chana, one of the seven Neviot, and Penina. Penina has many children, 10 children, and Chana has none. He used to go up yearly to go to Shiloh, that's where the Aron was at this time. His sons, Chafni and Pinchas, were calling him Lashem as well. We'll have to get back to them. So what happens, Penina had many sons, and Chana always davened and wanted a child. And Hashem was Sagar Rachma. Penina, the Psukim describe, made fun and teased Chana. Why is this? The Gemara of Basra told us that she was doing it L'shem Shemayim, to make her daven very much out of pain, and in that way, be able to have a child. And that's exactly what she caused Chana to do. The problem was that it was still an Avera. And though the Gemara says L'shem Shemayim is Kavana, she was still punished. Penina lost her children. Why'd she lose her children? As Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, it's like when you stick your fire into hand it to fire, doesn't matter what your kavanas are, you're going to be burned. There's only in a concept of an aveiro lishma, ben adam lamakom, not when it comes to ben adam chavero, and therefore she had to be punished, and that's why later on we will see she loses. But what happens? So Chana is still without a child, and she's very upset, and Elkanah makes the comment to her, I'm better than you than 10 sons. What's the problem? Chana realizes that she's all alone. There's nobody else to daven for her, so she goes and starts davening. She davens quietly, and as we know, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachas and Daf Lamed Aleph that we learn a number of halachas from Tfilas Chana, that you daven silently, that you move your lips. And she was very bitter, and Eli didn't even know what she was doing. But what did Chana say? The pasuk says, Vatitur neder vatomar. She makes a neder and says, Hashem tzvakos, imra'o tireh, Hashem tzvakos. The Gemara Brachas says, Hashem, you're in charge of everything, all the universes. You can't give me one little bitty child, right? What is my body for? What is my body for? If not to serve you with, and every part of my body, even the shadayim, I want to give milk to a baby. Why do I have these? Imra'o tireh bani amasecha. If you see, if you answer me, then that would be wonderful. The Gemara in Brachas even has a threat that Chana made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting, exactly how does she do that? Right? She says, if you don't listen, I'm going to make myself an ishasota and get the bracha. But this is her special tefillah. if you do that, I'm going to give you the child, Umora Loyala Arosho, and Umora will never cross his head. Machlokas in the Mishnah is a Nazir at the end of Samach Vav, whether this meant that Shmuel was a Nazir or not. If he was, it's a little problematic later on how he killed Agag, but Machlokas Tanam about that. But finally, Baruch Hashem, Hashem listens, but not yet, only after Eli first thinks that she is drunk. Eli says, what are you doing? Why are you drinking? And she says, Lo Adoni, no, you have it wrong. Why did Eli think that she was drunk? So the Ramban explains, based on how the Urim Tumim works. He was the Kohen Gadol, he looked in the Urim Tumim, and he put all the letters in order after Hashem gave him the sign, and he put them in the order as Shikora, but really it should have been Kishera or Kisara. And she said, right, Lo Adoni, you are not an Adon B'davar Zeh, you have it wrong, I'm davening, I'm a bitterness of heart. Eli says, Wa L'chilu Shalom, Hashem should answer your tefillah. And the Gemara says in Brachas also, we learn from there that if you ever choshed somebody, B'ksherim, so then you have to give them a bracha, and that's exactly what Eli did. So she goes home, and Baruch Hashem, she gets pregnant. She has a son, Chazal tell us on Rosh Hashanah. She calls him Shmuel, Kimei Hashem She'iltiv, because Shmuel, Me'el, from Hashem, that's where she got the son from. I'm borrowed, and therefore, I'm going to return it when I can. Already also a connection between Shmuel and Shaul, just in the name. Elkanah keeps going up, but Chana waits until the child is old enough, is weaned, and finally she goes up and she fulfills her her neder, and she brings Shmuel to Eli to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi quoted there the Medrash that says that at that time period there was a baskel that kept going out, that there was going to be a baby Shmuel that was going to save Klal Yisrael. So all the women of the time kept naming their baby Shmuel until one of them came and was actually the savior. So what happened? She brings the baby to Eli. El Hanaraz Es Palalti, I daven for this baby. Here he is. Amazing. Even after she got a child, after so many years of hardship, she automatically gives him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Beis HaMikdash, because it was all L'shem Shamayim. Perek Beis. What happens? Chana davens. Chana sings, but the pasuk says, Vatispawel Chana. Chana davens, Vatomar, and she says, Olas libi b'Hashem, Rama karni b'Hashem, right, my heart is uplifted. And she is ecstatic for the present that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given her. Ein kadosh kashem ki ein boltecha. She becomes, this could be the first time she has nevuah. As we know, Chana was one of the seven nevuot. This is where she might have gotten it. The tochen of her song is that life is not stable. Right? What's up could be down. What's down could be up. People who are satiated could become hungry. People who are hungry could become satiated. Somebody who has an akara could have many children. Somebody who has many children can lose them, and that's the pasuk that we know that Penina lost her children. Hashem mimisu mechayeh. Hashem is the one that's in charge of chayim and misa. The Gemara even says in Sanhedrin daf kuftes that she was specifically davening to bring up Adas Korach. They have a chelik in Olam Haba, Chana davened for her. Maybe we saw the Mishmar Zav says, connecting to the fact that what led Korach off the derech was that he saw in the future that Shmuel was going to come from him. Obviously, I'm going to be saved because of Shmuel. And he was wrong, but Chana, connecting to that, was davening for his descendants. Mekimei Afradal, she continues, again, Hashem takes people who are low and puts them up and puts them down, and she says at the end, V'itin oz l'malko v'yareim keren mishicho. He will give, uplift the keren of his anointed one, alluding to the fact that her son Shmuel is going to anoint the first kings of Israel. So what happens after the song? Elkanah goes back home, v'hanar ha'im mishari, says Hashem, Shmuel stays serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan. His B'nai Eli, now the rest of the parak is the contrast. Shmuel is serving Hashem. The B'nai Eli are B'nai La'al. They do not serve Hashem. They take advantage of the people bringing karbanos. Exactly what was the chait? Not clear. Something to do with karbanos. They ate too much, or they ate before Zrikas Hadam. The pasuk also describes that the explicit pasuk says that they lay with women. They lay with women who brought karbanos. And the Chazal assumed that it was not true. It was just that they delayed the karbanos being brought. So they delayed the women being able to go back to their husbands. So it's as if ki'ilu, what the level they should have been on, being the kohanim that worked in the Mishkan, it's considered as if they did such a terrible crime, but either way, they were deserving of an onesh. And we'll see, Eli wasn't castigating them for that. Shmuel Masharis is a Pnei Hashem, and again, all the contrast, Shmuel is serving God, the Radak says that he didn't learn from their actions, and the Perek also mentions that there was a little coat, a Me'il Katon, a little coat that Chana had made Shmuel, and he always wore it whenever she came to visit, and he was even buried in it at the time, at the end of his day, right? That coat was the symbol of all the tears and the hard work and the tefillas that she did for Shmuel, that she had for Shmuel, that was in that coat. And she brought it up every time she went to visit him. And the Pasuk also said that Chana had a couple of more children as well after she had Shmuel. Eli was getting very old, right? The Radak says he was starting to shake, so he couldn't do any of the avoda anymore. Visham, and he hears all of everything that his children were doing. Again, terrible. And he says to them, why are you doing this? I hear terrible things. And the Pasuk says they didn't listen to their father. Ki chafetz Hashem lahamisam. Because Hashem wanted to kill them. Sounds like Paro. The Radak says, it's like the Rama Menuchas Shuva. Your person reaches a level, and that Hashem even takes away the possibility of doing Shuva al derech hateva. But Shmuel keeps getting strong and keeps getting strong. So an Ish Elokim comes to Eli. Rashi says this was Elkanah, and says, Hashem has appeared to me and appeared to your forefathers, and your children are not following the path, and therefore there's going to have to be a terrible punishment brought upon your descendants. They're going to die young. They're not going to be able to serve Am Yisrael for a length of time, and this is a curse, Rachman al-Islam, that continues for many generations, even in the times of the Gemara. The Grand Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches says that it was still intact even in the days of the Amoraim. The way to undo it is with Torah, is with Chesed, as the Gemara describes with Abaya and Rabbah. Even the Gemara says that we pass like Abaya in Yal Kagam in six cases. Ya'el on a Derech Drush level, Kamotzi Shal Rav quotes this, that Ya'el is Abaya was from Eli. So Yal Kagam, Yal, he switched around the letters, is Eli Kagam, is Kara Gzeres Marbis. Right, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, V'chol Marbis Beischa Yemusu Anashim. Any, your whole family will die young. So Kara Gzeres Marbis, Abaya, was able to be Karayit with his Torah and with his Chesed. But Eli is already told by the Ish Elokim, this will be a sign that everything that I'm telling you is true. Both of your sons are going to die on the same day, and there'll be a new Kohen, which is going to be referring to Tzadok later on in Sefer Malachim, when all of Mishpachat Eli dies out. He will be the one that will take over, right? So, like, from a different family, not from the family of Eli. Good, Pyre Gimel. Here comes Shmuel onto the scene. Shmuel is Besaris is Hashem, and there is not too much Nevuah in that time period. Ein Chazon Nifratz. Eli is sleeping, and Shmuel is sleeping, and all of a sudden it says, Shmuel, by the way, where was he sleeping? It says he was sleeping in the Heichal. We assume that he can't be sleeping in the Heichal, because Ein Yeshiva Bazara, El Olamachli Space David Bilvad. So he was not sleeping there, even though it sounds that way. It must be, you focus, there's an Asnachta. Ushmuel Shochev, period. Beheichal Hashem, Hashem Aron Elokim. In the Heichal, right near the Heichal. Vayikra, and Hashem calls to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, Hineini. And he runs to Eli and says, Eli, what did you want? And Eli says, I didn't call you. It happens three times until Eli finally realizes it must be Hashem calling to Shmuel, and Eli tells Shmuel, lie down, and the next time you hear it, say, speak Hashem, because your servant hears. And that's exactly what Shmuel does, and he does not say Hashem, because he still wasn't sure, he just says, daber, ki shomei avdecha. Hashem calls him twice, Shmuel, Shmuel, sign of affection. We know the four people in Tanakh that Hashem called with a double lashon, Avram, Avram, Yaakov, Yaakov, Moshe, Moshe, and Shmuel, Shmuel. Here, the only one in Navi, and Shmuel says, yes, here I am ready. Hashem says to Shmuel exactly what the Ish Elokim has already told to Eli, that people will hear about what's going to happen to Tzilenesh De'aznav, their ears will start ringing. What was so terrible that the boys are going to die? There were tragedies before. No, says Rashi, the fact that the Aron was going to be taken. That is something that has never happened before in the history of Am Yisrael. Yetzias Mitzrayim, they came in, and the Aron, the most holy thing that they made for the Mishkan, can never be. And that's what happened. And that's why that's going to be something that's going to make such an impression. But Hashem continues to tell Shmuel what he's going to do and the curse that Eli already knows about. Fine. The next morning, Shmuel wakes up and Eli says, what did Hashem say? And Shmuel doesn't want to tell him, for obvious reasons. Eli says, tell me, you have to tell me, because I command you to tell me. And that's exactly what Shmuel did. Shmuel said, okay, and he told him, and Eli accepts the judgment. Hatov be'enav ya'aseh. Hashem should do whatever he needs to do. The Malbim says it's Kabbalah's din. And Shmuel then Shmuel keeps going up and up and becoming a great leader. Everything he says comes true, right? That's a sign of a Navi MS. And everybody knows that Shmuel is the man, he's the Navi. Okay, here we go. Hashem still is in Shiloh. The Mishkan is in Shiloh, and here comes the battle. Pas Perek Dalin. But Yisrael go out to fight the Plishtim. Vayetze, Rashi quote, the Radak quotes, they listened to Shmuel. Shmuel told them to go out. They were going to lose, but this was part of the Onesh. Part of the Onesh. Or the Ralbag says the opposite. They didn't ask Shmuel. Shmuel would have told them, wouldn't have sent them out. But either way, they fight near Evan Ha'ezer, which is what is going to be named later by Shmuel. But at this point, they are going to lose. They are very nervous, and they said, let's bring the Aron. Amazingly, why are they bringing the Aron onto the battlefield? So instead of looking within themselves and doing tshuva, they try to bring an external force. They think that's going to help them, and it doesn't work. They bring the Aaron out, Yosheva Kruvim, the Bnei Eli are the ones that are carrying this, and they think that's going to help them. The Plishtim all of a sudden get very scared. Oh, they remember what happened to Mitzrayim, but some of them say, don't worry, all the Makos are finished. There's never going to be another Makah, which we'll, Be'ez Hashem, get back to in the next parak. But they're nervous, and they fight very hard because they're nervous about that, and they kill 30,000 Jews, and the tide is turned, and the Aron is taken. The Aron is taken, and Shiloh is destroyed. Again, it doesn't say that Beferish here. It just says that Shiloh is no longer used. We discussed at the time whether Shiloh was considered a churban. It is, in a certain sense. Was it physically destroyed or just put out of use? But either way, the Kinos on Tisha B'Av and other psukim refer to it as a churban, and the sons of Eli, Chafni, and Pinchas were killed as well. Rashi quotes that following this case, the Ish Binyamin runs back to Eli to tell him the report. This Ish Binyamin, according to Rashi, was Shaul HaMelech. He saved the Luchos, even though they took the Aron. According to Chazal, saved the Luchos. The Radak says that's very rachok to assume he did that, but that's what Chazal say. Amazing Mesiris Nefesh, if he did that, but he runs back, he has ashes on his head, his uniform is torn, and he goes to Eli. And Eli says, what? What's going on? And Eli was 98 years old here. He had ruled for 40 years. And Ish Binyamin says, well, let me tell you, Bnei Yisrael getting defeated, Eli could take that. Your two sons have died. He could take that. The Aron Hashem was taken. He hears that. He can't deal with that. He falls backwards. He breaks his neck. And he dies. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Pinchas, is having a baby. She hears that the Aron was taken also. And first, and then it says that her husband and father-in-law died. She dies in childbirth as she has a baby. E Kavod. She names the baby E Kavod, because there is a lack of kavod here. But again, the lack of kavod, both Eli and the wife are emphasizing the fact that the Aron was taken. That was so unique. The Medrash points out this is one of the three women in Tanakh who died in childbirth. The Malbim also, we mentioned there, says it's such a double tragedy because it was the Torah Shebichsav that was taken and the Torah Shebal Peh, meaning it was the Aron and it was the leaders that all died. And that is what that is how the parak ends. So the Plishtim take the Aron, parak A, and they bring it to Ashdod, and then Gath, and then Ekron. As we know, all of the tragedies, not tragedies, just sicknesses, break out in the land of the Plishtim. They bring it to Beis Dagon, their idol, and Dagon is either from the word Dag, fish, because they lived the ports, and the god of the fish was very dear to them, or from the word Dagon, right, wheat, and they put the Aron right next to Dagon, right? Either they do it to say that they are equalizing, right, this is a god and this is a god, or they're giving a kavod, right, different suggestions why they did it, but either way, they were going to be punished for it. They wake up in the morning, and Dagon is lying face flat. So they don't get the message. They pick it up, and the next morning they come back, and Dagon's head is chopped off, and his hands are chopped off, and they're on the threshold of the door. So again, they don't get the message. They start worshiping the threshold. They're like, wow, the threshold must be a real god. Al-Kain, lo yidruchu b'koni Dagon. They wouldn't walk on it anymore. Such a ludicrous reaction. But that's what happens until finally they start getting sick. Hashem gives them tchorim, these terrible type of illness with achbarim, with little rodents going into their bodies when they went to the bathroom. Terrible, disgusting illness. And the Medrash says, because some of them said, there are no more makos left. Hashem says, okay, you want a maka? I'll give you a maka. And that's what happened. And they say, realized, finally said, maybe it's from the Aron. So we have to get rid of it. So they send the Aron to Gat. And in Gat, the same thing happens, right? The Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, if you think something occurring is just derech mikra and such a coincidence, I'm going to keep giving you difficulties. So that is what happened. It goes to Gat, and in Gat they get sick, and then in Ekron they get sick, and people start dying finally. It gets even more severe, and they said, we need to get rid of this Aron. We need to remove it. We need to send it back to the Jews. So Pasuk Vav, the Perek Vav, the Aron was in the Plisha for 7 months. The Medrash says, Keneged the 7 Kfasim that Avram Avinu gave when he made the bris with Avimelech back in Parshas Vayera, right? That was not something that he should have done, making a bris with a non-Jewish king about Eretz Yisrael, right? The Rashbam there even says maybe the Akedah was a punishment, so to speak, for that bris. But either way, the Plishtim get together and say, okay, what should we do? We'll send it back, but we can't send it back empty. We got to send it back with presents. So what are we going to do? So they made golden achbarim, right, as a recognition maybe, that these achbarim came from God. They got a new wagon, golden achbarim they put on it, and they sent it back being led by cows. What kind of cows? Cows that never had a burden on them, which makes them harder to walk. And number two, nursing cows. So you would think that they would totally not want to leave. So they said, okay, if Hashem wants to do an ace and take them back and take it back now, then we'll know. So amazingly, they still were in doubt whether it was all because of the Aron. But this is what they do. They send it and they see whether it is going to work or not. They put it in the gold in an argaz, in a box, which, by the way, was kept, the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Nun Beis, that they kept it in the Kodesh Kadashim, right, as a sign of the nace that occurred, and the gets back to Beit Shemesh, gets back to Beit, it's going on the way to Beit Shemesh. The Pasuk describes it by Vayisharna HaParos Baderech, which Pashas means Yashar, they went straight. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chavdal, it says, no, it means that they sung. They were singing as they went. The Ritva there in Avodah Zarah says, so why isn't this included in the Mishnah in the Pirkei Avos about the Nisim? He says maybe it's included in Piha Aton, like by Bilam. The Ben Yoyada there has other answers which we discussed. But either way, there was an ace that took place. It goes straight back to Beit Shemesh. The people are harvesting. It goes into the house of field of Yoshua Beit HaShimshi. And they see it, and they're like, whoa, what's happening here? They take the wood of the wagon, they take the cows, they bring it as a carbon, and the Levim take down the Aron, they put it on a rock, and they start celebrating. Obviously, something wrong here, right? What exactly happened is not clear. What was the chait of the people of Beit Shemesh? The Radak says maybe they didn't stop working fully. They were working and dancing. Maybe they were talking in front of the Aron inappropriately. Maybe they should have gotten the Kohanim at that time. Maybe the problem is that they didn't search for the Aron all of these years. Some say they opened the Aron, all different deos, exactly what they did. But all we know is that there was a Makkah, right? Beit Shemesh, it was a Makkah, Ki Ro Ba'aron Hashem, and 70 plus 50,000 men. Unbelievable. Or Rashi says maybe they were Keneged, they were as if, but many people died. Vayis'ablu ha'am, the people there went into Avelus, and they said, "Who? We can't keep this Aron, right? It's too holy for us." They realized Miyad, unlike the Plishtim, who like weren't sure where the Makkah came from, but Yisrael realized Miyad, where the Makkah came from, and they sent it to Kiryas Yarim. They sent it to Kiryas Yarim and the house of Avinadav, and that's where it stayed for 20 years until it was going to be moved again. But that's where it stayed. So the Aron is back in Beit Shemesh. So now, Shmuel gathers the people, Perek Zion. He realizes that they have the Aron back, but they have to get moving in terms of their tshuva. So Shmuel says to Bnei Yisrael, if you really believe in Am Yisrael, get rid of all the Avodah Zarah, and then I will daven for you. The Mabit in Beis Elokim says, when you daven for somebody, you also have to give them messages and tips of how to do better. You have to do this, and I'll daven for you. It goes to both. That's what Shmuel says. So Shmuel says, get rid of them, and then I'll daven for you. Shmuel gathers them all in mitzpah, the espalel ba'adchem el Hashem. It's an amazing pasuk in the beginning of Perak Tezvav in Yirmiyahu, where the pasuk describes Shmuel compared to Moshe in terms of davening to Hashem. So he davens, ba'yikafsu ha-mitzpah, so he gathers all Bnei Yisrael in mitzpah, they pour water out in front of Hashem. Why are they pouring water and fasting? Fasting we know. Why water? Rashi says it's a siman of hachna'a, of lowering. The Radak says it's kaparas avonos. The Mitzudas David said maybe it's like tears. Others say the Musar Nevi'im says it's like Torah. Shivcha, the Yerushalmi says, Shivchi kamayim libeich. It's like pouring their hearts out. Either way, they do this as a symbol, and they say, Chatanu Lashem. Shmuel judges them there, right? He was the last shofet, right here, Vayishpot Shmuel. He was a shofet. Vayishmu Plishtim, the Plishtim hear what's going on, that Bnei Yisrael gathering. So they quickly have forgotten. Quickly have forgotten, and they're gonna, what happened to them? And they start gathering. Bnei Yisrael say to Shmuel, Tachmish, you made a mizok al Hashem alokeinu. Bnei Yisrael say, we're scared. They dominate to say, Shmuel, please daven to Hashem. So Shmuel says, okay, he takes a tle chalav echad, he takes a nursing sheep, as if to say, this sheep needs its mother, so too you, Hashem, we need you. He gives it for an olah. Hashmuel screams out to Hashem, Vaya'aneihu Hashem. Hashem answers him. What do you mean? How did he know that he was answered? So maybe a fire came down from heaven, or, you know, maybe some other, a baskol, not clear exactly, maybe there was thunder and lightning. The Rinatz Yitzchak says, maybe shkura tfilaso b'fiv, like the Tana in Mesachas Brachas. But either way, Hashem answered him, right? That's what we say in Slichos. Mi sha'an el Shmuel ba'mitzvah, hu yanenu. Right here, this parak in parak Zayin. So Shmuel keeps going up, the Plishtim all of a sudden are confused. Bnei Yisrael didn't even fight, but the Plishtim are, right, this is the major enemy in all of Sefer Shmuel. The Plishtim, they start running away. Bnei Yisrael start running after them. Shmuel puts down a rock as an aid. He calls the place Evan and Ezer, and he says, Ad Heina Azaranu Hashem. Hashem has helped us up until here. And that, of course, is the pasuk that the Tur quotes in his Hagdama to Evan and Ezer, why he named his Sefer Evan and Ezer, which we discussed at the time. So the Plishtim were beaten down. Shmuel is now the complete leader and judge. And every year, what was his godless? He used to travel. He used to travel and be the shofet. He didn't stay and make people come to him. He went and judged the people. Uchuvaso haramasa kisham beso. And he always came home. Kisham beso to the Ramah. Visham shafad des Yisrael. Vayivan sham izbeach lashem. And he built him his beach there. Fine. Next, Paraches. Vayihi kasher. It's amazing that Perek Zayin is basically the only Perek in all of the Sefer, in all Tanakh, that Shmuel's in charge. Right up until now, it was Shmuel becoming, he was learning from Eli, but until the Aron was taken and the fight and the Plishim got the sent it back. But Perek Zayin, that's it. Now Perekhes already is going to be, Shmuel's getting old. Vayikach Zak and Shmuel. Shmuel is getting old. He wasn't so old. The Gemara says he was only 52. But Zikna kafsa alav. The Gemara says in Tainus Daf Hey, Zikna jumped on him. Why? We discussed then. Because Shaul wasn't going to be able to be the king anymore. But Shmuel didn't want to see him die. So Hashem made him look old, so that people wouldn't be meranein after he would die. So Shmuel was getting old. His sons did not follow in his path. His sons Yoel and Aviah. Yoel, it might be the Navi Yoel. The Yoel, one of the Treasar, but they still didn't follow in his path. They didn't go around, right? They sat in Beersheba, the Pasuk says. They didn't follow his Chumris, which were appropriate Chumris, and it says even Vayato Achrei Abatza Bikul Shocha, they took bribes, which the Gemara says, maybe again, just like the Bnei Eli, wasn't literal, but considering who they were, what they should have done, it was considered in the eyes of Hashem as if they did this. So what happens? The people come to Shmuel and say, your sons aren't really following your path. We want a melech. Famous discussion. We want a king. And Shmuel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are very, very angry. And the shaila is, what's so bad? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Parsha Shoftim. What's so bad about having a king? So we discussed many, many answers. Maybe it just reflected a lack of bitachon. Maybe it was because they wanted to be like the goyim. Kachol HaGoyim. Like the language here. Says the Meiri. Maybe it was too early. Right, because it wasn't ripe for Malchus Beis David. So that's why they had to have a different one. Right, the Malbim says they were still governed by Derech HaNes now. It wasn't by Derech HaTeva. Or maybe it was a lack of covet for Shmuel. All these different days explain why they got upset. So Shmuel says to Hashem, what am I supposed to do? Hashem says, Lo oscha ma'asu ki osi ma'asu mimloch aleihem. It's not you. it's me, it's a lack of bitachon, it's terrible. So tell them the following, tell them to all the things that a king is allowed to do, maybe that will also help them not look at this in the same way. When Shmuel says over all of these laws that Hashem told him to say, there is a machlokas tanoim in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf, whether these are real halachos or they are just the threats that the king could take your daughters and your chariots and your horses. Is this a threat? Is it melech mutterbo, melech aserbo? Or whether it was just a threat to be able to get them to change their mind. According to Tosfos, as there, if according to the one that says melech mutterbo, so what did Navos do wrong? Right, I'm sorry, what did Achav do wrong to Navos? Right, Navos was the one that had the vineyard, and Achav had him killed, and Navos had refused. But why not? This is a right of the king. So Tosfos there gives six answers. What exactly did Achav do wrong? Right? Maybe he's only valid to take things for his, not for his personal benefit. Maybe he didn't have the full status of a king. Maybe he only saw the mikneh, not steachuza. Right? All different deas that Tosfos has there in Sanhedrin and Daf Chaf. But the root of the issue is whether this was just a threat or it is halacha. Fine, so what happens? They try to convince Shmuel tries to convince them not to ask for the king, but at the end of the day, they still say, we want a king. They say, Vayom Berlo, Ki Melech Yialenu, Vayinu Gam Anachnu Kechol HaGayim, again repeating, we want to be like everybody else. And Hashem says to Shmuel, listen to them, you'll make them a king. And Shmuel said, okay, everybody go home, we'll meet again in the future. So, Perek Tes, stepping into the scene, Shaul. So, a man from Binyamin. Binyamin was the only Sheva that didn't bow down to Esav. Binyamin was the smallest of the Shvatim. Ushmo Kish ben Aviel ben Sarar, right? Kish had a son named Shaul. And the Ganavi describes him as Ein Ish mi b'nei Yisrael Tov Mimenu. There was nobody greater. Mishichmo v'amala gavoa mikol adam. Right? Higher than everybody. Very handsome. And how does Hashem get him to Shmuel? He loses his donkeys. Vatovana asonos, the Kish avishol. Kish lost the donkeys. He sends his son and his son's na'ar to go look for the donkeys. Go look, just like Moshe Rabbeinu met God the first time by the sneh, looking for his sheep, so to here, he's looking for the donkeys. Vayavar Bahar Ephraim, they go, and they go to Beret Shalisha, they don't find, they go to this land and that land, they can't find the donkeys. So Shaul says, you know, maybe we should go back, because my father's going to be worried about us. Amazing, about us, not just about me. He puts the Na'ar and himself on the same footing. The Tosefta says in Brachas, in the fourth parak, this Anava is what brought him the Malchus. Vayomerlo, he says, the Na'ar says, but wait, there's an Ish Elokim in this city. Maybe let's go ask him where our donkeys are. Let's go ask him. Amazing. Shaul didn't know there was the Ish Elokim here. He was just so engrossed in his Avodas Hashem. Vayomer Shaul the Na'ar, he says, okay, fine, but what are we going to bring him? We have nothing. We have no matanas to bring him. So the Na'ar says, I have a couple of pennies. Let's just go. And then right here is the pasuk, test, that earlier people used to go to see the Ro'eh, because the Navi today used to be called the Ro'eh. So that's exactly right here. Shmuel is becoming a Navi right now. Shmuel HaNavi. Vayomer Shaul HaNa'aro. Shaul says, fine, let's go. They start going into the city, and they ask the Na'arot that are there drawing water, where's the Ro'eh? And in a very verbose way, they say, he's here, he's coming, he's giving a karbon, the Am's going to wait. Very lengthy answer they give him. The Gemara says, because he was very handsome, they couldn't take his eyes off him. Or, a second answer is that Shaul's Malchus was supposed to start at a certain second. It wasn't time yet, so there were a little delay. Hashem had it in order for it to start exactly when it was supposed to. So what happens? They tell him he's going to go make a bracha on the karbon shlamim, and then he will meet with everyone else. So that's what they do. They start going towards meeting Shmuel. Meanwhile, Hashem had told Shmuel the day before, tomorrow people are going to come looking for their donkeys. He's the one. He's the one you're going to anoint. And he's the one that's going to help defeat the Plishtim. So when they come to Shaul the next day, Shaul's waiting by the gate. They say, where's the Ro'eh? Shmuel says, Anochi HaRo'eh. I am the Ro'eh. The pashtus is that there's nothing wrong with this. They ask, where's the Ro'eh? So what are you supposed to say? So Chazal say there was a little bit of gaiva that was here. And that's why later on, when he was trying to pick which son of Yishai was going to be the king, he kept choosing the wrong one. Well, we'll see who was the Ro'eh. But either way, he says, I'm the Ro'eh. Come with me. you will eat with me. So Shaul says, but what do you mean, me? So why me? I'm not such a chasha person. And Shmuel already alludes to him that he's going to give him a position. Shaul says, I'm from Binyamin, I'm from the smallest of my shevet. Maybe he even is noting that, Pilegesh give up. Binyamin is not favorable in the eyes of Am Yisrael. Why me? Shmuel says, don't worry about it. He gives him portions. At the end of the parak, he takes him up to the roof, as if to say, don't let it go to your head. Remez, the Bar Moshe said, Remez to Gaiva, the great sakana of being a king, but he takes him up to the roof and says, this is something I have to teach you. What happens? Shmuel takes out Perek Yud, takes out the Pach Shem, and he takes out oil. Machlokes Rishonim, the Radak and the Rambam. What oil this was? Whether this was the real Shemen HaMishcha, or this was Shemen HaFarsamon, fake Shemen, because he wasn't Malchus Beis David. The Brisker Rav said, it could have been real Shemen, because real Shemen is a din of Bechira, whatever Malchus HaNevcheres there was. And at this point, at this stage, before David HaMelech, Shaul was the Nivchar. And that's why he was able to get anointed with the real Shemen. So Shmuel anoints him and says, Ki Mishachacha Hashem al Hashnach Laso L'Nagid. We pointed out, it doesn't say L'Melech, it says L'Nagid, as a leader. Maybe he wasn't fully a king in the normal sense. And Shaul is told by Shmuel, your donkeys were found, and he gives them a couple of signs to know that what I'm telling you is correct. There are going to be three people that meet you going up. They're going to give you some bread. They're going to give you some wine, and then you're going to meet a group of Nevi'im, and they're going to be singing, because obviously and you will have nevuah also, says Shmuel. You will become a different person when you are a Navi. You become a different person. When you see all these signs, you will realize that everything I'm saying is true. You go down to Gilgal and then wait for me to bring the karban. This was at Tziva. That's going to happen in a couple of prakim, but Shmuel was told, Shmuel told Shaul, wait for me. Why is he telling him this now? Because this is the godless of a king. For a king, you have to follow the word of Hashem to the final detail. Wait for me. Don't bring the karban before I come. And now we know that he didn't have that patience, and many sins throughout history were because people didn't have patience, and that's what we're going to see. Brought to his downfall as well. So what happens? They bring, Shaul goes down. Exactly what Shmuel said would happen happens. And Shaul starts prophesizing. The people say, Hagam Shaul Banavim. Wow, he's never a Navi. How could he be a Navi? And after he finishes, he starts walking back home. He even meets his uncle and see who says, we found your donkeys. So he says, great. Shaul didn't say a word about what Shmuel had done and that he was the king. Right, the Anava he still had. Vayatzik Shmuel Esam al Hashem. Shmuel gathers everybody to Mitzpah, the same place where he was answered, and he introduces everybody through the Urim V'Tumim to the new king, Shaul, who had been hiding, who didn't want to be the king. He was Nechba Ben Akelim, and he runs away, and they bring him, and they say, he is the king, and everyone says, Yechi HaMelech, which the Targum says means, he should be successful. Yatzlach Malka. There were some people at the end of the parak that weren't ready for Shaul to be the king. They were the Bnei Beliyaal, and Shaul didn't say a word. According to one opinion of Chazal, this was his fault, right? You gotta be an unav until you become the king. But once you're the king, you have to take the position seriously, and you can't be a mochel on your kavod. But he didn't say a word right now. Maybe he'll just wait till he does something. He'll act, and then he will be able to prove himself. That's what he does exactly in the next parak, in Parak Yud Aleph. Who comes? Nachash HaAmoni. Nachash from Ammon attacks from the east side of the Jordan. He attacks Yavesh Gilad. Yavesh Gilad, if you remember, that was the city amongst Am Yisrael in the Pilegesh Begiva days. Maybe that's why he did it, because it's from his family members, Binyamin. He's trying to test Shaul. He says, let's make a treaty. The people of Yavish Gilad say, please, let's make peace. So Nachash says, that's fine. Let me cut your right eye out. And if you do that, so then I'll make a bris with you and I won't kill you. Rashi says, what do you mean your right eye? So it doesn't mean the right eye, it means the Torah. Why? Because the Torah, it says, lo yavo amoni u'moavi, the Torah, which is called the Yamin of Am Yisrael. That is what he wanted to do. So they said, give us a week, let's figure out what we're going to do. They run to Shaul, Shaul hears about it, Shaul gathers the Am, he cuts up a Tzemed Bakar, and he sends pieces to all Gvuli Yisrael and say, if anybody doesn't come join us, this is what's going to happen to their cattle. Right? It reminds us of the Achdus, that the last time something was cut up was Pilegesh Begiva. Again, this might be forefront in Shaul's mind to say, now Binyamin is on top, now Binyamin is leading, and there's no Baal Tashchis we spoke about in this case, because there is a Tzara Gadol to bring Am Yisrael together. Everybody was scared. They come, Kiyesh Echad. Shaul counts them. Vayifkadim Bebazek, he counts them. The Gemara says that even though it's Aser to count, he counted them with shards. He didn't count them with on people. So therefore there was no problem. We discussed then what's wrong with counting people. And there were 300,000 Bnei Yisrael and 30,000 Yehuda. He puts Yehuda separately. We mentioned maybe because he had covet. He realized that he wasn't supposed to be the Melech forever. So he has them separately to give them covet. And he says to the people, go tell Yavish Gilad that tomorrow the Yeshua is going to come. They come, they tell Yavish Gilad, and Yavish Gilad said, fine. That night, they come. The next morning, Shaul comes with, he splits the camp into three areas, and they wipe out Nachash HaAmoni, a great victory, and everybody says, let's go get the people who didn't want Shaul to be the king. Shaul says, no, stop, just leave it. And then Shmuel says, okay, Nechadish HaMamlucha, let's be Nechadish HaMamlucha, they bring Karbanos, and Shaul is now the full king. Perek Yud Beis, Shmuel's taking leave. Vayomer Shmuel, I'll call Yisrael. Now that there's the king, Shmuel's about to step into the background. Hinei shamati b'kolchem asher amartem li. Shmuel says, I've heard everything you've said. I've given you a king, and now I am getting hold. Mitalech lifnechem. The king is mitalech lifnechem. We said mitalech maybe is allusion to something later on in the Sefer. Mace holech. He's going to die while he's in battle. Right? Mitalech lifnechem. I'm old. My children are here. And I just want to show, maybe this is also part of the fact that they didn't give him the proper cover before. He's just saying, getting it off his chest, answer me, did I ever do anything wrong? In all my travels, Ashar Milo Kachti, V'chamar Milo Kachti, did I take anything from you? In all of these travels that I've had, very similar, parallel lashon to what Moshe Rabbeinu does to Adas Korach, in Bamidbar, Perek Tezayin, and they all say, no, 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 you're perfect. And he says, really? And it says, Vayomer Eid. Just be vayomru, eh? What do you mean vayomer is singular? So Rashi quotes the Gemara Makas Daf Chav Gimel that it was a baskol. Three people had a baskol go out for them in Beis Din Shel. A baskol appeared in Beis Din Shel Mata. This was one of them. Shmuel then gives a little recounting of Jewish history in order to encourage Am Yisrael to make sure they keep the Torah. He says, Moshe and Aaron, Hashem took us out and he saved us, and he saved us from Sisera. He goes through a couple of the stories from Sefer Shoftim, and he sent, and he quotes, four of the Shoftim, Yerubal, Gidon, Bidon, Shimshon, Yiftach, and Shmuel. He quotes himself. Quotes himself? How can he quote himself? Right, the Radak has two dais. Either Minag, this is the Minag to talk in third person, or maybe he didn't even know what he was saying. He was being misnabe, and he was just shchinim adaberes mitoch grono. Says the Gra, beautiful. That's the pshat of the pasuk we see every Friday night. Moshe v'Aaron b'kohanav u'Shemuel b'karei Shemo. Moshe and Aaron, they always had shchinim adaberes mitoch grono, a very high level of nevuah. But Shmuel usually didn't have it. Except once, b'karei Shemo, when he called his own name, that's when Shmuel was on the level of Shechina v'daberes mitoch grono, and he didn't even realize what he was saying. So that's this pasuk. So Yerubal, Badan, all of these shoftim and leaders Hashem sent you, and you have to realize that Hashem sent you them to bring you back closer to Him. And now He's given you a king. As long as you and the king follow the word of Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything will be good. And if not, bad news. And I'll give you a sign. In Parak Pasuk Yud Zayin, what's the sign? It was the middle of the summer, and Shmuel causes it to rain. Why dafka rain? It is rain is a siman klal in the summer. That's true. That's what Rashi quotes. And that's why we don't say mashiv aruchmar degashim in the winter. But the Rabbar Benel says even a davar nifla, rain. What does that mean? That just because Hashem gave you a king doesn't mean that's what it was supposed to be. Some of Bnei Yisrael were saying, well, it says we were supposed to have a king. Hashem answered our tefillos. Not every time you daven and Hashem answers your tefillos is it good for you. Just like now, we daven for rain. If you get rain at a bad time, so that's not a good thing. So too, if Hashem answers, it doesn't mean always that it is a good thing. And we spoke then about, you know, always davening, berachamim uvratzon. We want Hashem to answer us, but only in a rachamim way. So after it rains, they said, oh, hey, we're going to follow you. And they scream out that they're going to do tshuva, and Shmuel says, fine, don't fear, I'm still always going to daven for you, even though what you did to me hurts me, but at least follow Hashem, have Yirat Shemayim, and everything will be good. Fine. So now we have Shmuel is somewhat out of the picture, and Shaul is the king. Ben Shana, Shaul B'malcho, Shaul was a year, Ben Shana. What does that mean, a year? So it could mean that it was a year into his malchus. Some say that he was like a 1-year-old, so tom chait, he was perfect. There's an unusual Gemara in Yuma Daf Chaf Beis where the Gemara says that Rav Nachman said, maybe this means that he was dirty like a 1-year-old. And that night he had dreams, he had nightmares about Shaul until he was moda that what he said was wrong. But either way, he was ben shana shal malcha u'shtei shanim malach al Yisrael. He was malach for 2 years. He picked thousands of soldiers and he was getting ready to battle the Plishtim, which was the enemy that was always there. Yonasan, his son, sometimes called Yonasan, sometimes called Yehonasan. Yonasan provokes war. He assassinates one of the Plishtim, one of the representatives, the governors of Plishtim in Geva. They hear about it, and they start gathering. And they're in Gilgal. All of Bnei Yisrael are there, and the Plishtim are gathering, and all of a sudden people start getting scared. And Shmuel knows that he has to wait for Shmuel to give the Karbanos, the Ola, the Shlamim. He's supposed to wait 7 days. It's 7 days, and Shmuel hasn't come. And the Am starts scattering. And Shmuel says, wait, I'm going to do the Karbanos. He brings the Ola. And right after he brings the Ola, Shmuel shows up. And Shmuel says, what'd you do? Shaul says, the Am was leaving and I was scared that I was going to have to go to battle without giving Karbanos. I wanted to give Karbanos. Shmuel says, you should have waited. I told you, I gave you instructions. And because of this, your malchus is not going to last. Mamlachtecha lo takum, bikish Hashem lo ishkil vavo. Hashem's going to choose someone else. Two of their big discussions we had. Number one, what was so bad about this? What was so bad? So the real answer is that she was meshuba to the Am, like we discussed at length by Amalek. He wasn't ruling over the Am. He was very nervous about what the Am was doing. Or you could say that he didn't wait. It was like the Chet Egel, right? They didn't wait. Look what happens. He should have learned the lesson. You don't wait for the what's supposed to be. You know, you have to pay the price. So this is a fault in his malchus. You can't be a good leader if you don't rule over. And that's why he loses the malchus. Number two, the other issue brought up here and later on is what chait really did it? Was it this chait of not waiting in Gilgal? Or was it the later chait of Amalek? Various answers given, right? Maybe there it was a shvua, there it was, maybe he would have been a melech, just not had the malchus, now he's not even going to be a melech. Maybe he lost it, but his children would have had it. All different deos, the Radak has and others, how exactly he put these two chatom together. Either way, Shmuel is very upset, he leaves, and the Am keeps scattering, and Shaul is left with 600 men. That's it. And they don't even, the Navi describes, they don't even have a sword. They don't have anything except for Shaul and Yonasan each hand, but the Plishtim did not let them have swords. In all Eretz Yisrael, there was no sword. We pointed out that was the first time the phrase Eretz Yisrael appears in Tanakh, right here. Perak Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Tes. First time it appears. And it was so the Pasuk is emphasizing that this was an Ace Nigla. They didn't have a sword at all, and they were still going to win the battle. So what happens, Perak Yudalev, Ahi Hayom, Yonasan goes and starts the process. Yonasan takes his Nosei Kelim, they go, they infiltrate into Plishti territory, and they say that, let's hear how they're talking. If they say, well, when we reveal ourselves, if they say, well, come on up, that means they're scared. If they say, wait there, we're coming to you, that means they're going to win because they're brave. And you know, they take that as a sign. Why wasn't this nichush? Is this nichush? Right, looking for a sign. Lo sanachashu. So we discussed the Rishonim discussed that in Chulin Daf Sadi Beis. Either they were going to do it anyway, Tosva says, and this was just to help them, encourage them a little bit, or the Ran says there, no, this was logical. Nichush is not, no logic at all. A black cat crosses your path. Something falls out of the mouth. Some arbitrary event. But if it makes sense, This makes sense because it shows whether they're confident or not. Just like Eliezer Eben Avraham. It wasn't Nichush because it was a question of Chesed. So that's the test that Yonasan does. And of course we know they came back. The test was they said, you come here, which means they're scared. They went. They killed out a group of Plishtim there. And all of a sudden, the other Plishtim hear about it. They start going crazy. There's confusion. Shaul hears about it, that the Plishtim are running around. And he says, what's going on? See who's not here. And he realizes Yonasan's not here. Yonasan must have caused something. Shaul starts attacking. And in the middle, he says, I want to make sure that this job is done. So he makes a shvua that everybody has to follow. Nobody's allowed to eat until nighttime. Nobody's allowed to eat, which we said, doesn't say anywhere that he should have done it. It was probably not a good idea. His son, Yonasan, got very upset, but nobody eats the whole day except Yonasan. Yonasan didn't hear the Shvua. He dips his stick into the Yaros Dvash, into the honey, and he eats a little bit. And he becomes very strengthened. Vata'arna Einav, his eyes lighten up, and he says, what's going on? Why isn't anybody else eating? They say, your father made a Shvua. He says, why my father make a Shvua? You know, you could fast beforehand, Eisara, but during the Milchama, you have to be strong. You have to be strong. So that's why he was very upset at what his father did. In any case, also that night, finally when they were able to eat, it says the Am took from the Shalal and did something wrong. They were Chote. Not 100% clear what the Chet was, but it was obviously because they were starving. So it was a Chumrah that Shaul implemented, but it led to a Kula. It led to this Chet that Bnei Yisrael were either, Rashi quotes, they were violating Osov Espina, or eating before the Zrika, or they were eating blood, all different deus what they were doing, until Shaul hears about it, and shechs his own animals, and says, everybody come here, and follow me. Ushchatem bazeh v'achaltem. Right, you shech here and eat it. We mentioned that word bazeh, parag yudal, and pasak lamedal, is a reference that a knife of shechita has to be at least the gematria of a zeh, of 14 finger widths, and eat this meat. So Shaul continues after they eat a little bit. They go ask the Kohen, they go ask the Urim Tumah, are we going to still be successful? No answer is given, so he realizes that somebody must have eaten. He goes, and it ends up being Yonasan. And he says, Yonasan, what happened? I made a shvua. So Yonasan is like, okay, I'm ready to die. Shaul says, I'm sorry, I have to kill you. And the Am says, no way! Such an amazing miracle, a nace that was brought by Yonasan. You think Hashem brought this for somebody who did something wrong? So vayiftu amas Yonasan valomes. They redeemed him. They redeemed him, and he did not die because he was a shogeg. The shail is, if he was a shogeg, why'd he even need the hatara? Question that we dealt with when we spoke about this. Either way, Shaul continues. He finishes the job with the plishtim, and during his reign, they don't really start up. And then the Navi describes his family. He had three sons that were mentioned here, Yonasan, Yishvi, Malkishua, two daughters, Meirav and Michal, his wife Achinoam, his general, his first cousin, Avner ben Ner. Ner and Kish were brothers, and the Melchama was Chazakan, the Plishtim, all the days of Shaul. And Shaul was an Ish Gibar Chaya. Finally, Perek Tezvav, which we just discussed in the last year, so we're not going to really review it now. And that is, Shmuel says to Shaul, you're the king, so you have to go fight Amalek, the Tzivoy, the lack of fulfillment of what happened with Amalek, what exactly did he do wrong, and he loses the Malchus, and the in-placed Rachamim that he has on on the Amalekim, the fact that Agag was left alive, and that led to Haman. What exactly was the Chet versus the Chatam of David? He was scared. He didn't do tshuva until he admitted without any excuses. It was all what we discussed in the last year when we discussed the story of Amalek and Shmuel and Shaul. And at the end of the story, Shmuel goes home. He's misabel on Shaul because he realizes the Malchus is finished and he's going to have to appoint somebody new. This is the first part, the first half of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, the first 15 prakim. And Beth Shem, next time we pick up with the start of the second half, introduced to David ben Yishai.